Good morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where we'll begin today. If you'd like to turn over there, I'll have the scriptures up on the projector as I typically do as well. It's a great day to come together here to worship the Lord this morning. We're glad for each and every one of you to be here with us this morning. Do continue to keep all of those on our prayer list in your prayers, those recovering from surgeries, those recovering from COVID, all those good folks who are in need of your prayers. I can tell you it's appreciated very much. Let's begin in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 4. I'll be reading from the NIV. It says, "Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." I started this morning with this passage because it's got some good information here. Paul is encouraging those at Thessalonica to love one another. That's a good thing. He wants them to keep it up. He doesn't doubt the fact that they already do so, but he wants to encourage them to continue to do that. He wants them to know that's really not something they can do too much of. He wants them to continue their growth in this area. And he's doing this, he's encouraging this particular behavior, because this results in the kind of life that he is advising them is good to live, the kind of life they need to live. He mentions specifically living a quiet life, minding your own business, and working with your hands. And when that's done correctly, he tells them the result of this will be winning the respect of those outsiders and not being dependent on others. Those three instructions from this passage are what I want to look at with our time together this morning. Paul's instructions for those at Thessalonica was undoubtedly helpful in their time, and I'm sure that it's helpful for us as well today. The first phrase I want to look at from there is lead a quiet life. And that phrase can be a little difficult to read. Other translations have this as desire or strive. And while they're correct, I mean, this is what this means, to have ambition in a particular area. But again, when I read the phrase, live a quiet life, it almost sounds kind of hard to take. It kind of sounds a little bit questioning. When I think of quiet, you know, I think of hushed. I think of out of the way. I think of not noticeable. I think of just kind of off in the corner for things. And that's certainly not how we are to be. We are rather to be a light unto the world. Quiet is not meant literally in this case. It doesn't mean not to speak or not to be heard. In fact, far from it. It's meant in living in a way that doesn't attract the wrong kind of attention. It's meant living a life of doing what's right and not making those kind of waves that can disturb others or pull others in the wrong direction. When I think of everything that's out in the world inside of this year, I think a lot of people draw attention to themselves, some in some good ways and a lot of people in not so good ways. And I think this is telling us to strive or desire to be quiet in what we're doing, meaning to be peaceful towards one another. Proverbs chapter 17 gives us some insight into why this should be our desire. This is here in verse 1. It just says, "Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." Strife is one of those words that has a negative connotation. I don't want anything to do with strife. It doesn't sound appealing. And this verse in Proverbs is just telling us that. Having that quiet and peaceful life, even with just a dry morsel or a meager amount or what would be considered a little, beats living in a house full of the finest things with that kind of strife. I'm sure we've all heard of the phrase, I know I have, of burning the candle at both ends. It's typically referenced in someone living their life in a way that might be considered destructive. It may also simply reference somebody that's doing too much at once. The original poem where this phrase comes from references that the candle, when burnt at both ends, produces a very bright light. However, that light will not last the full night because of that. It burns brighter, but it burns quicker. I think that's part of the things we focus on when talking about living this quiet life, is not burning the candle at both ends, so to speak, not putting too many things in front of us so we can focus on those things that are important. This is a quick passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 6. It tells us, "Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind." Again, I think that sums it up very well for the type of life that we are to lead. Living a peaceful life is the way we are instructed to live as children of God. It's a good life. It's better than a life full of strife, and ultimately it's what God has instructed us to do. In fact, we also see this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is the very beginning of the chapter in verses 1 and 2. It says then that this is something we should pray for. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We also achieve this by being a righteous people. This is Isaiah 32 and verse 17 that tells us the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. Quiet is mentioned many times in these different passages, and so I think that's something important for us to learn. Again, this verse is our assurance that this is the life we are to lead, because this is that type of life that will have great results for us as well. The last verse I want to look at this point is in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. It tells us, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. I don't think it's going to be a surprise for me to make this statement, but I'm going to make it anyway. The world wants to pit us against one another. The world wants to see us fight over what makes us different. The world wants us to find whatever we can to cause strife between us. And that's because the devil knows that getting us to focus on those things, getting us to magnify those problems and pit ourselves against one another, is just the ticket to getting us off the path that God wants us to lead. We should want to live our life in a peaceful fashion. It should be something we should strive for. We have to fight the urge to fight amongst ourselves and work towards peaceful living with one another. Next, we must mind our own business. And that's another phrase that can come off in a different way if you're not careful with it. I think we'd agree that society today loves to mind other people's business. I think if we look at the culture of entertainment news and celebrity news, I think we can say that it's very alive and well in America today. As Christians, however, we should be content to manage our own affairs. Paul emphasizes this point to the Thessalonians in the second epistle. This is chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, we hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. I think the word busybody is used very well here. It's someone who is focused too much on the business of others and not necessarily the business of themselves. As Christians, we have to focus on ensuring that we are indeed minding our own business. Not that we're tuned out to everything else in the world. Not that we're tuned out to the needs of our brothers and sisters, but rather we are focused on keeping ourselves in line with God's teachings. Proverbs touches on this as well. This is chapter 22 and verse 29. It says, do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank. Skilled in their work doesn't just mean they're good at their job. We're not just saying this is somebody who, whatever they earn their living with, they've made a good way at it. The King James translates this as diligent in his business. Diligent in his business. I think that comes across very much as someone who minds their own business. Daniel, I'll use Daniel as an excellent example of this proverb. He took care of mind his business and was quickly elevated to leadership. This proverb again says that a man diligent in his business or skilled in his work shall stand before kings. That sounds like a pretty good motivation to me. But it's not enough that we mind our own business. Rather, we must also mind it with a good attitude. This is Colossians 3 and verse 23 that tells us this. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Excuse me. I believe this also falls under the old phrase, anything worth doing is worth doing right. I've used this passage many times when I've been in need of encouragement or when I've been in need of motivation to keep those things in mind. We're working for the Lord, and that's something that's always good to keep in mind. I think if we consider that we do a good job of taking care of our own business or minding our own business, but we're failing to do so with the proper attitude that God would have us have, are we doing it right? Are we doing it right? I don't think we can answer that question correctly. Our attitude is a very important factor in our lives. It's a critical factor in our lives. We have a passage here from Proverbs 1. This is a fairly lengthy passage, but it illustrates this. Excuse me. It says, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood, let's ambush some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole, like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We will all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. For their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net where every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Now, I read the actions of the people taken in the beginning of this passage, and it's easy for us to say that that's not something we're going to get involved with. Other people said that too. But the key here that we see, primarily here in the middle of the passage, do not set foot on their paths. It's telling us that nobody ever probably planned their life out to do some of these bad things, but rather one bad decision led them down a path that led to those things, led them down a path that they wish they would avoid it. Simply put, if we're too busy with minding the business of others, if we're too focused on what other people are doing, and we fail to keep in mind what we are doing, we don't have that ample time and opportunity to take care of our own, we're not doing what God wants. And we're not going down the path that God wants us to go. We have to stay focused on what is considered our business. And then we see we must work with our hands. I think we got a pretty good grasp on that one. Unlike the first two, it's pretty easy to get the grasp on what working with our own hand means. It's simply talking about staying busy doing the work that God has commanded us to do. Another way of looking at it, is accomplishing what's needed in support of our families, in support of ourselves, in support of others in need. It's been set up that way since the beginning. This is from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return. We work because God has commanded it of us. We work because it's been set up that way since the very beginning of things here. Another phrase I'm sure we've all heard of is the phrase that idle hands are the devil's workshop. Simply put, if we stay busy, if we do the work that God wants to do, and if we keep our hands busy, we have less time to be turned away and to be tempted by sin. Of course, we also work to provide for our own. This is 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. It tells us, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. God tells us that that is what we are to do. We are to stay busy because there are those in our care that we must provide for. We also work to provide help for the needs of others. We're very fortunate in this church to be blessed and to be able to help a good number of organizations and people. And all that support comes from the hard work of everybody that's here. Ephesians chapter 4, this is in verse 28, tells us the importance of that work. It says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful, again, with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. We also see Paul speaking to this in Acts 20. He says, there it comes. He says, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Again, he's putting this example forth to helping others because that's what we're to do. We're to stay busy, constantly busy, working to provide for ourselves, of course, those in our care, but more importantly, those who cannot. Proverbs 13, verse 4 says, a sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. It's pretty clear from reading that the only way to get the payoff is to do the hard work. Working with our own hands serves to provide for us, it serves to provide for others, but again, keeping us busy on the path that God has led for us keeps us out of trouble. Those are the three things I've been thinking about on this morning, and as we get ready to close out, I want us to think about those things that help us live that kind of life that God wants us to lead. Paul tells us that doing those things will help us to walk honestly towards those who are without, and it tells us again that we will lack for nothing. That sounds like a fantastic goal for me, to lack for nothing. It's a worthy goal. And so as we go about another week on this earth, we must ask ourselves if we're doing the things as we have been instructed, if we are living our life as we have been instructed to in these passages. I hope certainly that we can answer yes to that question, but if we feel like there's an area that we're coming up short, of course we can go to God and He will provide that help for us. The path God has laid out for us, it's not always guaranteed to be easy, but it is guaranteed to be worth it in the end. I think we should do anything and everything we can to ensure that we get on that path and stay on that path. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we're going to offer this invitation. Upon confession of your faith, of course, we'll baptize you for remission of your sins. You can begin living the life that God has instructed you to live. Lead that path that He has laid out for you. If you're in need of prayer, if there's any way at all we can assist you, please come while we stand and while we sing.